This is Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho, featuring inspirational and fascinating personal stories of people from all corners of the globe who are now in St. Louis. We'll take a look at the U.S. through newcomers' eyes, get some insight into world history and cultures, and maybe learn something about ourselves. Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Stories of New Americans on 101.9 News Talk STL. I'm joined tonight by Charles M. from Cameroon. His last name is too hard to pronounce. I'm calling him Charles M. But welcome, Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Fawn. I will refer you to Mr. Fawn because when I first came to America, you were one of the people I met when at one time you visited me at my residence. So I decided to give that title, which is like a royal title, Fawn.
Thank you. I'm not worthy, but thank you.
I'm so grateful for the opportunity for inviting me to come into the studio today to talk about New Americans.
Well, thank you very much for coming. I'm really glad you're here because I think a lot of people don't know much about Cameroon and about what has been happening there for a long time that is not so great. But I wanted to talk about get your input on some of the things that are happening. But let's start by kind of setting the scene for people that might not know where Cameroon is located on the map. Can you talk about where it is, what the neighboring countries are?
Thank you for asking that question because when I first got here in the United States, people used to ask like, "Where are you from?" I said, "I'm from Cameroon." They were like, "Where is Cameroon from?"
Yeah.
Because a lot of Americans, they don't know so much about Cameroon.
Yeah.
I think the reason is behind this is because a lot of people believe that Cameroon is a French-speaking country, but they don't know that Cameroon is a bilingual country, as kind of like Canada.
Yeah.
So like when a lot of people would ask like, "Where are you from?" They would say like, "I'm from Cameroon." They would say like, "Where is Cameroon?" So actually, Cameroon is located on the map of Africa in the west center of Africa. It's shared border to the north by Chad, then to the west by Nigeria, east by Central African Republic, south by three countries, Gabon, Republic of Congo, and Equatorial Guinea.
Mm. Okay. And I found out something interesting. The name Cameroon comes from the Portuguese word camarão, which means shrimp,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was given by the Portuguese, I guess, explorers or somebody, you know, Portuguese were doing exploring and they arrived in the 15th century. And they gave it the name Rio dos Camarões.
Camarões. Rio de Camarões.
Which means shrimp river, basically.
Exactly. Exactly.
Isn't that interesting?
So that was, back before the German came in, a lot of explorers, somebody like Christopher Columbus, so they were the one that were coming towards Africa. They were the one that came to Africa.
Right on the African coast there.
Of course. So when they came to that area where they found there were a lot of shrimp, what they call prawns.
Uh-huh, prawns.
Prawns, yeah. So they gave the name Rio de Camarões.
The native name. What was it called before the Portuguese arrived? Do you know? Was there another name for the area?
You know, I haven't gotten into detail to know about the name that was being called before the arrival of the Portuguese.
Okay. And you know, as I think you mentioned, it's quite a diverse country with, well, two main languages, English and French. But how many other languages are spoke?
Currently, Cameroon, we have like about 250 different dialects are part of the English and French.
Mm-hmm.
So the dialects are mostly based on the different tribes or ethnic groups that are in Cameroon.
Yeah. You mentioned the Germans. I think Cameroon was a German colony?
Before the French and the English came in.
Yeah.
So that territory was a German colony. So after the First World War and the Second World War, the Germans were defeated. So that had the Germans happened to leave the country. And then the country were then divided between French and the British,
mm-hmm.
where the minority part British took the minority part, and then the French took the majority part of the country.
Mm-hmm. Now, it was sort of like a punishment to Germany, right? Because they, because of the war, so the French and English kind of basically took it away from Germany.
You know, like during the Second and the First World War, so like it was like some sort of like when you are defeated, so your territory that you owned as a colony has to be taken away from you.
Yeah.
So it was like a punishment, as you mentioned, rightly mentioned.
Yeah.
So that's how the Germans lose their...
But, okay, you said it was the French took part of it and the British took the other part. And they were, for a while, they were two separate, not countries, but colonies, I guess, right?
Because after the Germans left, now it became, it was like two colonies,
mm-hmm.
which were, what we were on the British uh-huh. colonies and French colonies.
Uh-huh.
So when you look at the French colony, the other part that was colonized by the French, they had that independence in 1960. And then the other part that was colonized by the, were colonized by the British, they had their independence in 1961.
So they were two separate countries
at
that time.
They were two separate countries.
But then later they joined together, right?
Yes. That was around 1972. So in 1972, that was when the two countries decided like, okay, we'll call, because the English was called the Southern Cameroon or the West Cameroon back in the days.
Mm-hmm.
It was the English part was called West Cameroon, and then the French part was called East Cameroon. So they were seeing they were like two Cameroon. Mm-hmm. They were like, I mean, we remember like what happened in Germany, where they were talking about East and West Germany.
Yes.
It's like this is exactly what was happening back in the days in Cameroon.
Okay.
So the two Cameroon decided to come together.
Why did they decide to come together? Was it economic reasons?
Not mostly because of economic reasons. When you look at back in the days, the English-speaking Cameroon, which is a British colony,
mm-hmm.
they have their own independent. They have their own president. They had their independent. They had the independent already. They has their own president. They had everything. They had like they have a full government that was functioning. So, since they were all from the same area, we feel like okay, we are brothers. We don't see any need of saying I'm from the south or you are from the west. So, and then there was intermarriaging. So, they decided to come together. And when they came together, it wasn't like a full union. It was a certain term of condition that maybe we'll have to live for 30 years to see how the relationship works.
Oh.
It's like a marriage arrangement
oh.
where we said, okay, it's like a contract marriage. We'll live together for 30 years.
You see how
if
it goes.
If the marriage works, and then we'll get married. If it doesn't work, then we'll separate.
That was the official policy, like
yeah.
a test run?
Yes, that was 1972. That when it happened.
Mm-hmm.
So when it happened, and it happened at a place called Fumban. That's where they had the Fumban Conference, where the two Cameroon, the representative from the English and then the representative from the French, they came together. So when they came together, they agreed that they should unite. So when they unite, at that time, it was called United Republic of Cameroon. That's how it was called. The name was formed. It was changed from the Southern or the French Cameroon. Now they form one name called the United Republic of Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
So when it became the United Republic of Cameroon, along the way, things start falling apart. Before the 30 years, you see there's a lot of changes. Then that way the English speaking started noticing some sort of assimilation. Things start changing. When you look at before they had that independence, okay, they agreed that if the president is from the English speaking, from French speaking, the vice president should be from the English speaking. But along it never worked like that. When you look at since the independence, since the 1972, when the two came together, we had just two presidents to date.
Mm.
We had Ahidjo, and then after Ahidjo left power in 1982, Paul Biya took over, and he's still currently in power. So since then, they never had any speaking English president. All the presidents have been from the French speaking.
Now, the country is mostly French speaking, right?
Yes, about 70% is French speaking, about 30% English speaking.
Okay. Are you saying that the English speaking people are kind of second class citizens, discriminated against?
I would say before the union, I mean they were not second class citizens, but
in the union they
in
are.
In the union they become second class citizens.
Okay.
As regarded by the French government.
Now, There has been some conflict there over the years about this, and I think there's a group. Is it called Ambazonia?
Yeah, that's a group. That name has been going on. You remember, before 1990, nobody would ever voice the name Ambazonia. Then that is it.
This is the English speaking area or
yes.
people.
Yes. So Ambazonia is made up of two provinces. So you have the Southwest region, which that's how they come out, the Republic of Cameroon called the Southwest region.
Mm-hmm.
But now we call the Southern Cameroon. So now we call that area now, we have the Southern County and the Northern Zone. So we call like now Zone. We have the Southern Zone and the Northern Zone. Those two provinces that were being named by the Cameroon government called the Northwest region and the Southwest region. Now that the new group that came up, then they changed the name to name those areas to be the Northern region, the Northern Zone, and the Southern Zone. Then the name Ambazonia, that's the name of the territory. That name has been existing before the two countries came together. But when they came together, they decided to wipe the name. They don't want the name to exist anymore.
Yeah.
So they were trying to assimilate. They're trying to change everything. So along the way, the name was kind of disappearing. So in 2016, when the lawyer started demanding for the common law, because when you look at in Cameroon, most of the magistrate and the lawyer in the court, they are being appointed by the Cameroon government, and most of the lawyers are in French. So when you go to the English-speaking area, which is called today Ambazonia, most of the magistrate and the lawyer that they were serving in the court, they were all French lawyers. But most of the people in those areas, they don't speak French.
Mm.
So in 2016, the lawyer said, no, they have to return to the British law, which is a common law, so that if in case somebody is taken to court, that person will be able to be judged in English. He or she will be able to understand what they are saying.
Mm-hmm.
So for that reason, they went to the street. They were protesting in the street. It was a peaceful demonstration. All what they had was a peace plan. The peace plan is what we call in my dialect, Kung. So that's why they were just holding that we are not violent, everything is peace. All what we need is justice, that the two region, which is now called Ambazonia, should implement the common law, so that if in case my father or anybody happens to go to court, he or she will be able to judge in English, so he or she will be able to understand what they're saying, rather than judging you in something that you don't, in a language that you don't even understand, and then to sentence you. Sometimes they sentence people without even them knowing what they're sentenced for, for unjust reason. So when the lawyer went out to demonstrate that they wanted the common law, that's how the French government, which we call today La République, sent the army to go and beat up the lawyers, and then some of them were brutally beat up, and then some get locked, than some of them that sit in the JT today.
Mm.
And then from there, the process keep escalating. In 2018, the teachers went to the street because earlier mentioned about the assimilation, because they were also assimilating the educational system. Like most of the teachers that were in the English-speaking schools, they were all like French teachers. So, like, for example, if you have never been in the French zone, what the teacher is teaching, you won't understand what the teacher is teaching in class. So now the teacher went to the street in 2018. They were saying that we need the educational system to be reformed in such a way that the English student will be able to be taught by the English teacher so that they'll be able to understand what they're saying. So the La République government equally sent the soldiers to go and beat the teacher, lock them up. And most of the teachers are still in jail till today.
Why don't we take a short break here? I don't want to ask another question that's going to take a while to answer, but let's take a short break here. We'll come back and we'll pick this story up in just a minute. You're listening to Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL 101.9.
Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL.
Stories of New Americans.
brought to you in part by Arnell's Hardwoods. For all of your laminate and hardwood flooring needs, call them at 314-397-3252.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by the Indoor Comfort Team. For all of your heating and cooling needs, call the Indoor Comfort Team at 314-230-9542.
This is Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL.
Welcome back. We're talking with Charles from Cameroon about... We're talking about the conflict between the various French and English speaking parts of his country. And so you talked about the legal system, the education system of, I guess, linguistic discrimination. Are there other areas of life that were you would see discrimination?
Thank you, Mr. Ron. That's a great question. I will continue again to mention how the English have been assimilated. When you look at since the Union – in 1972 to date, when you look at the key position in the country, for example, let's look at saying that in the ministerial post position, they never had any English speaking person that has been as a minister of defense, minister of finance, education. Those are the key position. And they never had any English speaking speaker that has been a president.
This current president, you said he's been in power for over 40 years.
Yes.
Was he elected in a fair election?
His first term of office, it was a free and fair election. But after that, the elections have been rigged.
Okay.
I mean, the worst scenario was it was 1992 when we have an English speaking somebody called
candidate.
John Frundi. Yeah. He came out with when he came to power, he never wanted anything like any other party, like political party. So we had just one party, which was I forgot the name of the party already.
That's all right.
So but, it was just one party. So when they're going for the election, everybody voted for him. So you don't have any opponent. You don't have any opponent candidate.
Right.
Till in 1992, when an English speaking became an opposition, and he was called John Frundi. So that way he launched a party called the Social Democratic Front. So that way he was allowed. It was under hard struggle before he was allowed to compete to be the president.
So obviously, it looks like the Ambazonian people would prefer to secede from Cameroon, to be an independent country, as they were for a while. But the central government does not want this to happen. Do you think it ever will happen? Do you think the country will ever divide into two?
Mr. Ron, I'm sorry for taking you back.
Okay, please do.
I mean, we're not separating. We're not seceding.
Oh.
It had been two different countries. When you look at, one of the countries had that independent in 1916. Then the other part of the other country had that independent in 1961. So when they talk about separatists, it's not separatist.
To the way it was before 72.
Yeah, I mean they're using the term separatist so that the international community to think that Cameroon was one from the beginning. Cameroon was not one from the beginning. We're just trying to restore our independence that we had in 1961.
Do you think that will happen?
I mean, it will happen.
Okay. How will it happen?
When you look at how most of the youth, I mean, the English speaking, they're tired of marginalization.
Right.
Of what is going on. So nobody is willing for the union to exist anymore. I know it will happen. It's just a matter of time.
Okay. Will it happen through violence? Will it happen through just an electoral process, you think?
I mean, like the English speaking, they're non-violent. They're non-violent. Because when you see, even before it get to this level, it was a peaceful demonstration that they were demonstrating, that they want the change of the common law, they want change of education. And then they wanted a federal system of government. But the French government didn't want that system of a government.
Right.
So they want everything to be controlled by the central government. Because, you know, when they go to the federal government, I mean, every state will be able to control their own resources and will be able to manage their own resources, even though I know part of it will be going to the central government.
Yeah.
But when they mentioned about federal system, the Cameroon government didn't want to hear anything like that.
Have there been any changes since these conflicts with the lawyers and the teachers? Any improvement?
No, there's no improvement.
Nothing.
It's worsening.
Okay.
It's worsening. It's just because so I don't know why the war is silent about the conflict.
You're right about that. I don't think many people know that this is even happening.
So the war is just so silent about it. I don't know why. I'm thinking because, when you look at the French president, I mean, he's the one, France is behind all this. France is behind all this.
The country of France?
France, yes. France is behind all this.
Is the English-speaking part or the English Cameroon, does that area have a lot of natural resources? Is that one of the reasons why the French part wants to keep it?
Mr. Ron, thank you. That's a good question you just asked. When you look at the English-speaking part of Cameroon, they have everything. They have all type of minerals. They have timber. They have cocoa. They have coffee. They have rubber. They have bananas. I remember sometime, I think it was 1991, and that corporation is called CDC. That is the highest corporation in Cameroon. That is the highest employer. But the French government wanted to privatize that section. I mean, the English-speaking population has to go out to demonstrate that no, they cannot do that. Because doing that, privatizing the government, the CDC, which is like a giant plantation corporation, which means a lot of English people will not be able to get their job. So, I mean, it was under a struggle.
Mm.
And then they went demonstrating, and then that's how the government was able to allow the CDC not being privatized. So, I mean, in terms of riches, I mean, Cameroon is very, the English speaking is very rich.
Mm.
I would like to refer you can go and Google. You Google about Limbe oil refinery. I mean, it's not all about Limbe. I mean, Limbe is when the two country came together, they changed, that name was called Victoria. That's the original name of that area, Victoria. But when the English and the French came together, then the French government was able to trick the English to change the name from Victoria to Limbe. So, and like right now, if you can Google about Limbe, you see, like the oil that is coming from Cameroon, is coming from Limbe. And what is happening? Like, you are exploiting oil from an English zone, but the oil is being shipped. I mean, they have pipeline. The oil is being drilled all the way in Douala, which is another French area.
Mm.
So, like the taxes that the people from Limbe or Victoria is supposed to be benefiting, they're not benefiting from those taxes. But the area that's benefiting the taxes is where the oil is being drilled.
Right.
So, like they have the pipeline that they drill the oil all the way to Douala. That's where the taxes are being paid. So, when you look at the town Limbe, I mean, look when you look at the infrastructure, road, they don't have good road. But that's the area that is supposed to be benefiting from the oil that is being drilled from the area.
Right.
But they are not doing that. And then when you look at the Limbe, that's another point that I have to mention. When you look at the Limbe seaport, it's one of the natural deep seaport that you don't need to drain the seaport. But it's just abandoned.
Mm.
That's where the biggest ship can anchor.
Abandoned?
Yeah, it's abandoned. And then the Cameroon government went and created a man-made seaport in Douala, which they spend millions of CFA francs every year to drain the sand for ship to enable the ship to anchor, instead of allowing the ship to go to Limbe and anchor over there, which is a deep natural seaport.
Mm.
And then you look at the airport, they had Tiko Airport, it's no more existing. And then you go to Bamenda, they have Bamenda Airport, which is abandoned, everything is depreciating. So we don't have any airline leaving from any other part of the country to Bamenda or to Tiko or to Bali Airport. All those areas have been abandoned.
Yeah.
And then we go to electricity. We have what we call Menchum 4, which can generate light, which can give light out, which can give light to the west of Africa. But they just abandoned that. But they went to Edea. That way they were able to generate electricity, which is not able to supply light to the whole Republic of Cameroon.
Mm-hmm.
It's not. So, I mean, there are so many things that, I mean, if yeah. I have to mention.
When is the next election scheduled for the president?
Right now, Mr. Fon, I'm so sorry that I won't answer that question because, I don't like to follow up like what is going on in the French section now about election. All what I want is if the Amazonian is able to restore that independence of 1961.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm more focusing on the Amazonian.
Okay. Now the capital Yaoundé is in the French region, right?
It's in the French region.
Okay.
But before the independence, the English speaking, they have their capital in Boya.
Oh.
And they have the Prime Minister Lodge over there.
Boya?
Boya. So, okay. I mean, you can even Google that. You can Google about the Prime Minister Lodge in Boya. You see, it's a nice building.
Yeah.
So it was abandoned.
Let's talk about your life a little bit now, your childhood. Where did you grow up?
I grew up in the rural area with my parents.
Rural area?
Yes.
Okay. So. Was it a diverse area or mostly?
No, it wasn't a diverse.
Okay.
So it was an area of about 10,000 inhabitants.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody speaks the same language.
Mm-hmm.
So, like,
what is your first language?
Mogamo.
Mogamo. Okay. And when you went to school, was that conducted in that language or in French or
no,
English?
No, when I went to school, everything was being taught in English. Like
English. Was it the British system?
Yeah, it was still the British system of education.
Okay. What was your school like? Did you have a lot of homework? Was it very strict? Was there a lot of respect shown to teachers?
I'm sorry for cutting you short. In terms of homework, there was not much homework compared to the homework I had over when I came over here to America and then I went to school over here. So there was not a lot of homework. Strict, yes, I would say yes. Because in Africa, in my home country, especially with the English speaking, they are so strict. They try to maintain the British way of system.
Mm-hmm.
So like when you're late from school, you get beaten for being late. Or you get punished for being late.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, it was so strict.
And I imagine that there's a lot of respect shown to teachers, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I read that there's something that they call comme franglais, which is a mixture of French and English, Cameroon-style mixture of French and English. Is that something that a lot of people speak?
France anglais is something that is just coming up.
It's a natural thing.
It's something that is coming up because of this issue of assimilation I mentioned earlier. So, like, when I was growing up, I never knew anything like France Anglais. So, when they talk about France Anglais, it's like a French person may say, my mère came yesterday. So, they'll mix part of English and French together. That's how they call France Anglais.
Mm. Okay. What was your impression of the United States when you were a teenager, when you were younger?
Following what I usually see in the TV, yeah. I knew that United States was heaven on earth.
Oh, really?
Yeah. I knew United States was heaven on earth. Even though I keep hoping that one day, I will be in the United States, but I wasn't much interested about that because when I completed high school, I started a small business, and I was flourishing very well with the business.
Mm-hmm.
So after that, I never thought of moving out of the country because I was doing well in my business already.
Mm.
So,
was your childhood happy?
Yeah, I was so happy. I mean, we're living like a community type of life where, for example, my mom, when we were young, if my mom has to go somewhere, maybe travel to the city. So she would just tell to the next neighbor, hey, take care of my kid. I'm mm-hmm. going to the city. Mm-hmm. So she might go there and spend 2 or 3 days. And when she come back, we'll be happy.
Mm-hmm.
And then we eat in the same bowl and everything was nothing like mine, yours. I mean, everything was like just the same. I mean, I came from a family of my mom and my dad. They have 8 kids. Among the 8, we had 2 girls and then 6 boys.
Mm-hmm.
So among the boys, so we're sharing our clothes. So nobody didn't say, like, this is my clothes. You can't wear my clothes. So for those that were grown up, they were able to share shoes if they fit them. So.
Uh-huh. And then you opened a business after you finished school.
High school.
What kind of business was that?
When I finished high school, one of my brother, he was already in the business. Mm. So what he did was selling building materials. So mm-hmm. when I completed high school, my dad was not more able to finance my education because my dad was a farmer. What he was dealing much with coffee.
Oh.
He used to produce tons of coffee.
Coffee farmer.
Yeah, tons of coffee.
Wow.
So that's what my dad was producing and was able to sponsor us to school. So when coffee business started falling at the world market, so now he was not able to produce coffee anymore. Most of the farm were abandoned because he cannot take care. Because when the market was flourishing, he was able to sell the coffee and then pay some of the workers to help into the coffee farm. But when the coffee market was falling, so he had no money at that time, so he was no more producing coffee. So when I completed high school, so I didn't have the chance to go to the university.
Oh.
So my brother, who was already in the business, selling building material, what he did was he gave me like one quarter of his business. So that's how I started my own business.
Okay. And that was successful?
It was successful.
Okay. Why don't we take another short break here, and then we're going to come back and talk about your life in America.
Okay.
How you came here.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you. All right, you're listening to Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL 101.9.
Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL. Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you in part by Samim Afghan Restaurant, featuring traditional Afghan cuisine and conveniently located on Manchester Road in the Grove.
Stories of New Americans.
Brought to you by Hacking Law, for individuals who want to come and stay in the U.S. Hacking Law fights for immigrants every day. Visit them at hackingimmigrationlaw.com.
This is Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to the Stories of New Americans, News Talk STL. We're talking with Charles from Cameroon. You were talking about going into business with your brother successfully, but then you eventually came to the United States. When did you come here?
Actually, I arrived United States in February 2006.
Okay. Well, that's been a while.
Yeah. It's okay. Quite a while. Yeah.
And you came to St. Louis, right?
To St. Louis, yes, sir.
Okay. Can you remember your first impressions of America or St. Louis? Was it surprising?
When I first got into the United States, the first impression was like try to compare the lifestyle, compare the environment with the one where I came from.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of like, wow, America, I mean, I was looking like building the roads compared to what I had back home.
Yeah.
I was like, wow. I thought like I used to think about America being heaven on earth, actually heaven on earth.
Mm.
So as time go by, that's how I started seeing a lot of changes that my first impression about America, it kind of is changing a little bit in America, or when it usually show over the TV, they don't usually show like people who are homeless. So because like back when I was back in my home country, I knew that everybody in America, they're all wealthy, and I never knew that they have people who are first class, second class, third class. So when I started like interacting with the other Americans, going to work, I started seeing a lot of changes.
Mm-hmm.
And another impression I knew before coming to America, I knew that everybody in America had a car.
Mm.
So when I started my first job, they told me that you have to get into the bus. I was like, how can I get into the bus myself? So when I get into the bus, I saw a lot of people in the bus. Then that's why I started, oh, so there are people in America that don't have cars.
Oh, you thought nobody took the bus.
Yeah.
So you were surprised at some of the things that were happening here. Were there any language problems, even though you speak British English, but people here speak American English? Were there some language misunderstandings too?
Yeah. I mean, even not just the time I got here, even up to now, with my accent, sometimes I have colleagues that, especially who are Americans, they will say, okay, I don't understand what you're saying. And then when I went to school, I had a lot of challenges with certain words, because there are certain words that have been spelled in the British way, but in Americans, they have been spelled differently.
Yeah.
Especially like those words that end with O-U-R, like neighbor, labor, all those words. So I like sometimes I will spell them with using the British way with O-U-R, like labor, I would say L-B-O-U-R.
Yeah.
But with time, now I'm used to, I know the spellings already. So,
Did you have anybody here that you knew when you came here? Did you have any support network?
When I first got here, I was referred to the International Institute because I was told that's one organization that was helping immigrants, new immigrants into the United States. So I went to the Institute, and then the International Institute was able to help me. They were able to help me, like clothing, like the basic needs, like soap, lotion. They were able to look for me for my first job, which was a factory job. So I worked in that factory for 7 months, but I didn't like it.
And so you took a bus there?
Yeah. So that's how I knew that there were people in America, because when I was going to work, I had to get into the bus.
Yeah.
I was able to see all those Americans who are riding the bus with me. That's how I decided I was able to know that. Because my impression before coming to the United States, I knew that everybody in America has a car.
Mm.
So when I got into the
bus. Not everybody. What time of the year did you arrive here? Was it the summer or winter?
It was winter.
Does it get cold in Cameroon?
The weather we're having now, the current weather we're having now in St. Louis, that's how Cameroon is. Like in the morning, it's kind of chilly.
Like the way it is now?
Now, yes.
Is okay, so you don't get snow?
I mean, I wouldn't say in Cameroon in general, from where I come from, the weather is like what we have now.
Really?
Like in the morning, it'll be kind of chilly.
Yeah.
During noon, it's kind of hot. Towards evening, it's kind of a little bit chilly. But when you go to other part of Cameroon, like the northern part of Cameroon, because it's going towards the Sahara Desert.
They're close to the equator.
Yeah, towards the desert.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's very hot in that around that area.
Okay. Yeah. Huh. So you worked at the factory for 7 months, and then you started going to college too, right?
Yes.
Was that the same time or was that later?
When I worked at the factory for 7 months, I didn't have the chance to meet up with my daily activities, like to meet up with my goals. Because my goal, I know America, when I come to America, I know America is a land of opportunity.
Mm.
So I never wanted to miss that chance that I would have missed when I was back home after high school.
I think people like you appreciate and understand that better than many of us native-born people do.
So when I came over here, I said, okay, since I didn't have that opportunity to go to the university back in my home country, so this is the best place for me to take this advantage and further my education.
Mm-hmm.
So what I did was when I quit from the factory job, so I went to the International Institute. So I told them that I need a job that is flexible, so that I will be able to go to school and then at the same time work. So they introduced me into this program called PCA, which is Patient Care Assistant. So they trained me, the International Institute trained me for 3 months. And then they were able to look for me my first job as a patient care assistant at St. Mary's Hospital.
Oh.
So I started working at St. Mary's Hospital as a patient care assistant. So I was working 12-hour shift a week.
Mm.
So I have 4 days. So I was able to use those 4 days to go to school. That's how I started going to the community college, taking my prerequisite.
Mm-hmm. And then what kind of work are you doing now?
Now I'm a registered nurse by profession in the United States.
That's great. And how are you enjoying this type of work?
I love it.
Mm.
I love it because I come from a background where I used to see how people would suffer. We don't have infrastructure like hospitals.
Yeah.
We don't have clinics. So that's one of the things that actually motivated me to get into the nursing career or into the healthcare field,
yeah,
so that one day I will be able to go back home and then I will be able to help the people in my community.
Oh, is that your goal?
Yeah.
If people don't have – I know a lot of countries are like this. If you don't have money, then you simply cannot get medical care. Is that true in Cameroon too?
Absolutely right. Absolutely right.
So there's no such thing as insurance, or is there?
I mean, they don't have anything like insurance. What do you pay out of pocket? So like when you go to the that's an advantage here in America. That's one thing I like here in America, because when you are sick, mm-hmm, you go to the hospital.
Yeah.
What they think is saving life first.
You'll get a bill later, but they will take you and help you.
I mean, they make sure that they save your life.
Right.
They don't think about the bills coming.
Right.
But back in my home country, it's not like that. You have money first.
Wow.
With that money, then that is it. If you can't have money, no treatment.
Wow. Yeah, they need people like you back there. Let's see. Have you ever felt any type of discrimination in the United States or in St. Louis? As a black person, as a foreign person, as a non-native speaker of English?
I have never come across a such thing, because all my job that all the places I have worked here in America, I've never come across such a thing like that. Because when I used to work at the factory was owned by, I think it was somebody from Taiwan. So like most of the people that were working there were mostly foreigners. So mm-hmm, so I didn't have anything like that. So when I went to St. Mary's, you know, in the hospital, we have the workers, employees in the hospital, they have people from different backgrounds.
Mm-hmm.
So while I was working as a care partner or patient care assistant,
mm-hmm,
I came across so many people like from Nigeria, from Kenya, Congo. So, I mean, I didn't have mm-hmm any such thing like that.
Okay.
Like that.
Okay. Let's talk a little bit about Cameroonian culture. What are some typical foods that people – that you would have eaten back home growing up? What are some traditional or typical foods?
Achu.
Achu, what's that?
Achu is like the way they prepare it, you get what they call cocoyam.
Cocoyam.
Cocoyam. You uh-huh boil the cocoyam, and then you can blend the cocoyam. Mm-hmm. So achu is actually – when they blend it, it look the form of what the Americans call mashed potatoes.
Oh, really? That same consistency?
Same consistency.
Kind of like fufu, kind of?
Yeah. It's fufu.
Oh, it is fufu.
But the name is actually – it's fufu.
Okay.
Actually, you're absolutely right. It's
okay
fufu.
Okay.
But that particular type of traditional meat is called achu.
Okay.
So the soup mm-hmm that the fufu is being eaten with
uh-huh
is called – it's yellow soup. It's called achu soup. It
okay
looks like mustache.
Okay.
Mustard in America.
Mustard?
Yeah, mustard.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
So you will boil – You put it in the plate,
uh-huh,
then you open a hole, then you put the soup in the middle.
Okay.
Then you start eating with your finger round.
Oh,
round,
okay.
And then, I mean, you can get a picture. If you want to see more images, you can Google achu. Yeah.
Can you find ingredients for your foods here in St. Louis?
Sometimes there's a store.
Jay?
Jay might not. They have some, but mm-hmm not quite much like compared. There's a store on Olive.
Oh, yeah.
It's
called the Nigerian store?
The Nigerian store.
Yeah, yeah, I've been
yeah
there.
And then sometime when I happen to see somebody that is going back home, my wife will make a list of what
yeah
they can send over.
Right, right. What about music? I'm old enough to remember a song by Manu Dibango called Soul Makossa in
yeah
the 70s.
You know, a lot of Mr. Ron... before I met you, I also met an American
mm-hmm
who is a white American. He used to take us from place to place.
Oh,
so he knows much about Emmanuel Dibango. Mm-hmm. I think a lot of Americans know about Emmanuel Dibango because of the soul music he played. Oh, I don't know why most of the Americans know about Emmanuel Dibango. So you mentioned about Makossa.
What is Makossa music?
Makossa is actually in Douala language.
Okay.
Because Dola is a tribe. Mm-hmm. You know, earlier I mentioned that Cameroon has about 50 different dialects. Mm-hmm. So Dola is one of the dialects. Mm-hmm. So Makusa in Douala means dance.
Dance, okay.
But Makusa is a pop music that almost everywhere in Cameroon, like you go to bar, you go, you have an occasion. Mm-hmm. It's like a type of music that the youth.
Okay.
Everybody like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. And it's still popular today?
It's still popular.
Okay. Is Manu Dibango still alive?
No. He died, I think he died in 2016 or 2018.
Okay. If I would go to visit Cameroon, where should I go? What are some beautiful places I should visit?
Oh, Mr. Fone. You remember earlier I mentioned about Victoria, now it's called Limbe.
Yeah.
I would like you to go there because that's right at the seashore. You'll be able to see the Atlantic
beautiful Ocean. Beautiful coastlines, huh?
Exactly. You'll be able to see the Atlantic Ocean. You'll be able to see where I mentioned about the Limbe deep seaport. Seaport. Yeah. You'll be able to see the seaport yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then they have a botanical garden over there too that you can relax. And then you'll be able to eat some fresh fish, roasted fish from the sea. Mm. You see fresh fish coming out from the sea, and then they have women at the seashore that will roast that for you.
Oh, very fresh.
Very fresh. And then I would also like you to go to Bamenda, where you can have a lot of this culture. I mean, when you look at the music, Njang. You'll be able to listen to Njang music, and you'll be able to listen to bottle dance. You see how people will be dancing in the bottle dance, and then you'll be able to see like most of this artifact, like most of this carvings stuff, you know, like the artifact. I don't know if you ever heard about Afuakom.
I don't think so.
So you can write it down, then you can Google, you'll learn more about Afuakom.
Afuakom?
Afuakom.
Okay. What is it?
Afuakom is actually it's a statue, like a statue. It's a carved statue that it was from Salt.
From Salt?
From Salt. Salt is a tribe.
Okay.
N-S-O.
And so, okay.
Salt, from Salt.
Uh-huh.
So Afuakom, it was a statue that a lot of people believe in.
Mm-hmm.
That with this statue, anything you want.
Okay. Okay.
So, what happened? One of the prince from the royal family, because that actually a statue or that carving wood, it was in the palace. So one of the prince stole it and sold it to the Western world.
Oh.
So when they took it to the museum, I think it was either France or Britain. So it was in the museum.
Okay.
It started destroying the other artifact that was brought from Africa. So like in the morning, you go to the museum. That was in, I think it was in France or Britain. So they have everything that was being placed on the shelf. But in the morning, you go, everything will be down on the floor. Everything will be knocked out on the floor. So it was because the spirit of the statue wanted to go back to Africa.
Mm.
So what they did was, when they found that was what was happening, so they have to
bring it back.
Bring it back. And when they bring it back into Africa, to the salt land, I mean, it was highly, highly welcome over there. It was a big celebration.
Okay, so now it's like a popular tourist location.
Yes.
Okay.
I mean, like when you go to the royal, to the palace, that's what I'm saying. If you happen to go to the Norway, that way you'll be able to learn a lot of culture.
Yeah.
For example, the dress, what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Or when you look at some of the music I sent to you, look at the type of dress they're wearing.
Okay.
It's only people from that area that have that type of dress.
Right.
But now it becomes so popular that when you go to the French picking zone, a lot of people are admiring the dress. Everybody want to wear it now.
Wow. Especially the younger generation,
I guess.
Okay. Final question. What is the best and what's the worst thing about living in America?
The best thing in America is if you're hardworking, whatever thing you want in America, you will have it. There's a lot of
It's not easy, but it's possible, right?
It's possible. There's a lot of opportunity.
And I know you've worked really hard.
There's a lot of opportunity here.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, if I remember from where I come from, you know, as I earlier mentioned to you that I didn't have the opportunity to go to school.
Yeah.
But when I came over here, I said, okay, this is a good place for me to have take the chance to go to school. So I never mind starting from anywhere. I started from the lowest level.
Mm-hmm.
I keep going up all the way to the university level.
Mm-hmm.
So America is a land of opportunity. If you happen to come to America, then you are hardworking. I see you making it. You live a beautiful life over here. The other part, I would say the worst part of it is culture. I mean, the culture will disappear. Because I'm somebody that I like my culture so much, but I'm having kids already, but my kids will not be able to learn the culture. So that's the only thing.
You're talking about losing your own culture?
My own culture.
Okay.
Because, like, for example, in the if I happen to die, then my kid, they will not be able to portray my culture.
Are you teaching your children your first language?
I'm teaching them, but, I mean, they will not be able to catch up like the way
nobody else except you to speak it with. Yeah.
And then with them interacting with different kids at school, so they're getting, I mean, their culture is getting disappearing in a way.
But do your best to keep it alive. It's really important. Okay. Well, thank you very much, Charles.
Thank you, Mr. Ron. I'm sorry that... I mentioned, I know there was a question you asked, like, when I first came to America, how
That's okay.
did I succeed? I forgot to mention your name because you was one of the people that we met.
Oh.
I remember you brought us, there was a bag. I know there was one time you asked us, what type of sport do you guys like to play? I remember we said soccer. And then you brought, there was a big bag you brought with a T-shirt, shirt, boots for us.
Did I?
So that was able to keep us with the American.
Oh.
Yeah. That was something that I forgot. Actually forgot to mention your name over there, too, because that was a big help.
My pleasure. Because, I don't remember that, but I'm glad I did it, if I did.
Because like, on our off days, I mean, would I be so bored?
Yeah.
But when you brought the soccer ball... the shirt, the T-shirt, the boots. Like on our off day, we're able to go to the
That's
field.
That's great.
Yeah, to
That's
enjoy
great.
Ourselves.
That's great.
And then I also remember you taking us, I think it was a town giving to SLU University. There was a festival there.
Yeah.
So those are some of the things that I will never forget, such thing, because getting into the foreign land where you don't know anybody.
Yeah.
And then you have somebody, I mean, that will sacrifice his or her time to always stop by to check on you. I mean, it's something that I would never forget.
Oh.
Because for me, being over here, I'm actually seeing how time is so precious here in America.
Yeah.
So I would really appreciate your time that you spend during that time going around, showing us places, trying to give us something that can keep us busy or entertain us.
Well, thank you for saying
that.
My pleasure. It looks like I made a good investment because you really made a big success for your life. All right. Well, thank you again, Charles. Unfortunately, our time is up, but thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for listening. You've been listening to Stories of New Americans on News Talk STL 101.9. Thank you.
Stories of New Americans with Ron Clutho on News Talk STL. I am proud of you, you are rich. I am proud of you, you are strong. You defeat the whole Cameroon, like Africa in the world.